Please be seated. God bless you. All right. What a beautiful group out here. You guys look great. Look wonderful. You know, there's a question that I believe every single person who has ever lived has asked at some point in their life. And I wouldn't be surprised they ask this question over and over again. And that is, what is life all about? What is life all about? What is the purpose of life? Here I am, born into a family or maybe not a family. What is my purpose in life? Who started this thing? What's going on here? You know, I've had the opportunity, as I'm a little older than most of you, and I've had the adventures of living life and doing a lot of different things. You know, a lot of different hobbies. I was into sports, so I played a lot of different sports. Had a lot of different relationships with different people. There's family, friends, just a few girlfriends until I met Jeannie. But a lot goes on in our life. But what is the meaning of life? What's it all about? Have you asked that question in your life? What is life all about? You know, when I was 12 years old, I started asking this question, and it became a very dramatic event for me because I wondered at some point, I got to the realization I was old enough to think about life and where I'd come from, but where am I going? I know the end of life is death. So I lived so many years. What's the purpose? What's going on here? Who started this? What is my significance in the scheme of life? And so this put me on a quest as I got older to search this deep question about life. What's going on here? What am I going to do? Now, as I got older, I had responsibilities. I got a job, obviously. Had a relationship, married the most wonderful woman you could ever imagine. What a blessing that is. But when I was 20 years old, I made a decision, and I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I became born again. I became a son of God. I became a member of the family of God, the creator of life. I had found some answers to this question about what is life all about? Wow. Thankfully, I saw God's word, the creator of life, in the Bible, where I could learn about life and its significance and what it meant for me. You know, there's another person that had a deep, deep hunger about life, that wanted to know all about life. And this person's in the Bible. And this dramatic event for him produced a book called Ecclesiastes. You heard of that book in the Bible? Probably haven't read it recently, but we're going to take a look at it because it's about a man who is considered in the Bible the wisest man and probably the richest man that ever lived. And he went on a quest. He had the same question that everybody has. What is the purpose of life? What is it all about? So in Ecclesiastes 1:13, we're going to look there first. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. So he really got into it. It wasn't just a fleeting thought of what's life all about, but he put his whole heart into it to seek and to search. And as the wisest man that ever lived, it became a big deal for him. Verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. He's checked them all out. I mean, you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's all about him searching high and low about what's the meaning of life. What is it all about? And so he says in verse 14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is vanity. What does vanity mean? Emptiness. Not much to it. This vexation of spirit, I think the best definition I see that really fits is the grasping of the wind. Chasing the wind. Different translations have it. But think about this. You know, if the wind's blowing, you have a sense of feeling, right? You feel something going on. Where is it? You try to grab for it, right? I have fun with Evan and Milo with bubbles. We have little bubbles, and I'll blow the bubbles. And they are grasping at it, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Where'd he go? What happened to the bubbles? Well, this is how he explained his search. And he searched high and low about life. And it's all emptiness. It's vanity and the grasping of the wind. You can't get it. Let's look at a few more verses here. We're not going to read all of Ecclesiastes, just a few more. But in chapter 2, verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Solomon had the resources to go any and everywhere, to check everything. And so whatever his eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I have labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Wow, this is pretty empty, isn't it? It's pretty, I mean, you mean there's nothing to life? What's going on here? After searching high and low, what can I grab onto? Well, Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. I love that verse because it puts things in the right perspective, right? There's a God. He's in heaven. He knows. He knows. I might know a few things, but he knows the most. So I'm going to just keep it quiet until I can learn from him all about life. 11:5. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Can you explain the birth of a baby? How that starts In 9 months, that baby is developing in the womb. Phenomenal. God knows. God set it up. He figured it out. He made it work. I don't know how that works, but God does. God does. Well, poor Solomon struggled to find the truth, to find out what's going on in life. And there's another person that had some questions about his fleshly life, another wonderful man of God, the Apostle Paul. He had some struggles about his flesh life. It was a stumbling block to him. Romans, we're going to jump to the New Testament here. I'm going to read the ESV in Romans 7:18. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. You know, within myself, not much good there. That is in my flesh, okay, in my five senses, flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with life about what we would like to do or feel like we're inspired to do, but can we really make it happen? Well, thankfully, the Father has provided solutions. Solutions that give life meaning, excitement, and fulfillment. There is an answer. And it's pretty cool. It's exciting. It's tremendous. And God, who is in heaven, has the answer. Now, I'm going to share with you a verse that many people use to say that you really can't know that much about God. So let's take a look at this, and we're going to see that this is probably not the best way to use this verse. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you're in Romans, just next book over, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Many folks quote this as a verse that you just can't know that much about the things of God. Well, what does it say? But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves. There's some things that God has given us through his love that he's prepared that we can have. But what does it say here? Oh, eyes haven't seen, ears can't hear. What's in the heart of man? The things which God has prepared for him that love him. Well, do we stop there when we read the Bible? No, verse 10, next verse. But God, set in contrast here, but God hath revealed them unto us. He has revealed them to us via or by way of his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That Spirit of God, woo, opens the door for us to know the things of God that he has prepared for us that love him. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, not guess, not speculate, but know the things that are freely given to us of God. Creator of the heavens and the earth, freely given to us. There's some things that we have that are just phenomenal. God loves us so much. He's given us so much via the Spirit of God. When you got born again of God's Spirit, you got loaded. You got filled with the Spirit of God in you. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is so big, so fantastic, that we have a lifetime to learn and grow in the greatness of who we are in Christ and recognize our identity and have purpose in life. Understand what life is all about. Have hope for the future, for eternity. Wow. Verse 14. Verse 13, we didn't read 13, did we? Let's read verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, natural man. If he doesn't have spirit, he's going to keep asking this question until he gets born again of God's spirit. He's going to have questions the rest of his life. But you and I, when we're born again, we have answers, the truth for the rest of our life. My goodness. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Oh, what a reality. Let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go back a little bit here. 25, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God... His foolishness is what? Wiser than men. What is foolish to God is wiser than any man could ever be. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. That puts a nice perspective in who our Heavenly Father is, isn't it? His capabilities. For you see, verse 26, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh... Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But, verse 30, there's that word again, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's who we are. That's what we have. We have his wisdom. We have his righteousness. We have his sanctification and his redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You have purpose to glory. You have purpose to be so joyous, so excited when you know who you are in Christ. When you get the answer of what is life all about, it's all about you being born again of God's Spirit, knowing that in the depth of your heart, knowing that you are a son of God, and you've got Christ in you. You fully identify with him. Wow. That's what counts. Well, you remember old Solomon? We started with him, right? And after his extensive search for answers, he comes up with his solution. His solution, if you want to go back there, chapter 12, verse 13, his final solution to the whole matter. And it says there in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To respect him, to reverence him, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to do the word. The word is doing the truth of life. It's living life to the fullest. It's living life as God has designed it. Pretty good lifestyle. Not a bad answer to this question either, is it? So I trust we can be thankful for the truth of God's word. I'll tell you what. It's all about your fellowship with the Heavenly Father God. And man, if you know that, if you know that you're born again of God's Spirit, that you have a source of truth to life, and you have a fellowship of like-minded saints, you're living high on the hog. You're living life to the fullest. Oh my goodness. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up into the worldly desires and things that are going on in the world, and I want to be a part of this and that. If you're born again of God's Spirit, if you know the little bit of the truth of God's Word of who you are in Christ, got wonderful saints to fellowship with, you're just living the greatest life possible. Amen. One more verse, I'm done, okay? Galatians 2:20. Oh, man. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, we fully associate with what Christ did in his redemptive work. That's why it says we were crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Father, thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the great answers that we can have about living life, about who we are in Christ, that we have great purpose in life, great significance. Thankful for the privilege to be in your family, to have the hope of Christ's return at any time, to know that we can fellowship with you, with wonderful, loving saints, that we have your word to bank on. That is the truth. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And may we do that, Father. So thank you for the realization and the answers we have because you love us so dearly. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Well, bless your hearts. Hey, let's live life to the fullest, huh? Why not? We're sons of God with power, with Christ within. So let's have a great week. Look forward to next week seeing you if the Lord tarries. Okay? Bless you.
Children, hearken to my voice. There's something you should know. I've called you to my family, and I've called you as my own. So you can call me Daddy, or you can call me God. But you and me will always be like two peas in a pod, because I'm keeping my eye on you. Keeping my eye on you. From your rising up to lying down, no matter what you do, I'll be keeping my eye on you. So take my hand and follow me. I've been this way before. I'll guide you and protect you, even through the darkest storm. We'll walk and talk together, like good friends should and do. And even when you're sleeping, you can bet your baby blues that I'll be keeping my eye on you. Keeping my eye on you. From your rising up to lying down, no matter what you do, I'll be keeping my eye on you. And even when you're feeling all alone, just remember that you're always near. You're never far from home. And remember when you walk with me, you're walking in the light.
We'll shine around all the world to see both day and night. You'll be our chaplain.
You're the apple of my eye. It's you and me eternally. On this you can rely, that I'll be keeping my eye on you. Keeping my eye on you. From your rising up to lying down, no matter what you do, I'll be keeping my eye on you. Keeping my eye on you. From your rising up to lying down, no matter what you do, I'll be keeping my eye on you.
Hello, hello.
Okay, just real quick because I'm going to turn it on. I'll turn it off, okay?
Okay. Okay. All the Lord is good to me, so I thank the Lord for giving me. So thanks. All the Lord.